fasting and prayer again, but I've been trying to get this company that God's opened a lot of doors for places that I've wanted to go in for 30 years in my business, you know, and it seems like, you know, kind of like Jesus, you know, about the wine deal, save the best for last, you know, and all that, but blessing all along. But anyways, he wanted to price on some doors, and he sent them, and I went, uh-oh. I said, them's high-dollar doors, but whatever. Well, I give him a price, and two doors is like $18,000-something dollars, you know, for two small doors, you know, openers and all. And he come back with big Google eyes in the text, you know. He said a bad word, and I'm not going to say it in church. And so I responded back, and I said, yep. I said, those are some high-dollar doors, but it is what it is. Well, about 45 minutes, and I'm going to make good money. When the doors are high like that, cost a lot, you know, you make better money. They're bigger doors. They're just a lot to deal with and everything. And he come back, and he says, man, I can't believe it. They going to go ahead and do it. I'm signing the contract Tuesday. Like Eddie said, I can't believe they did it. And I thought to myself, I can. My God is a good God. And if we expect to see God's goodness all the time, it ain't just people in business. Now, I'm just a believer here. All I am is a believer, and I'm in my walk, and you're in your walk, and this Bible don't discriminate, and it don't say if you got your own business or don't got your own business or work for a man or you sit at home and make money. Ain't that right, Sam? She's down. They're going somewhere tomorrow. That's great, man. That's great. You know, they're all time, her, Beth, always. And I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, they're enjoying life. How many knows you need to enjoy life? You're always going to have trouble. Yeah. I mean, you can come out of one trouble and get you a little season of rest. And like when Jesus come out of the wilderness, you know, and he was tempted of the devil, you know, and then he passed all of the trials that were there at hand. And the Bible says that Satan left him for a season. Yeah. Right? In other words, that's telling me he's going to try Jesus again at some time or another, you know. But we're supposed to enjoy life. And if we're enjoying God, you will enjoy life. If you delight yourself in him, then you will enjoy life. It'll cause life to be enjoyable to you. But, you know, God just keeps increasing my business, you know. And if you work for the other man, see, I done been on both sides of the aisle. I didn't work for myself, but I believed God with the same words that I believed God for my business, for my life, back there when I worked for the other man, and I seen in less than a year almost double pay. In less than a year. You know, and it's not all just the tithing. And, you know, God opens opportunities for us to be givers. You know, for us to give. You know, it might not even be money. It might be time. It might be, this is not my message, but I'm led by the Holy Spirit right now. And because we're a fasting church right now. We're fasting. I don't know who went yesterday, but it was Monty. I helped him yesterday. I fasted with him. I couldn't remember who it was, you know, that fasted Tuesday, so I got up. Monday is my usually regular fasting day that I fast every Monday, unless I feel like I'm getting ritualistic in it. You know, it's just a routine thing. Then I'll pull a trigger right quick on Satan. I'll just change it to another day, you know, which I don't have to do that often. But anyways, I woke up, you know, and I thought, man, I'm going to drive all the way to McDonald's and get me one of them, what do they call them, steak bagels. Steak, egg, and cheese bagels, man. Them things will draw you all the way from Huntsville to Honiana. You know, your mind. But anyhow, I had to go to Honiana, you know, and I'm on my way over there, and I thought, wonder who's fasting today? I can't remember, you know. And so I just told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, I'm just going to go ahead with my comrade today. I said, and I'm going to join them, whoever it is, God, and I'm just going to, I'm going to set this day aside again to fast and just get closer to you and all of that stuff. But, you know, there's a lot of spiritual benefits in fasting now. I'm telling you right now, the suffering that you go through, and once you make your mind up that you're going to have a fasting lifestyle, that means, you know, the battle's about won. I mean, you know, the hamburgers can't whip you too much anymore. You know, you growling belly at 4 o'clock, waking you up. You don't normally get that till 6:30. You know, those battles are, you know, they get less and less, hallelujah. And then it's just more of a consecrated to God. How many knows that fasting is part of our devotion to the Lord? It's part of our alliance with Him. And we see all through the Bible. Jesus, matter of fact, was fasting when He come out of the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness and fasted 40 days and nights. You know, and the Bible says he came out, you know, and was tempted to Satan there. But the Bible says when he came out of Luke chapter 4, it says that he left in the power of the Spirit. Matthew, little different account, Matthew 1, it says that when he got through with the temptation, it says the angels came and ministered to him. And, you know, and so I believe, you know, the Bible don't say it, but I believe the fasting and the praying in the wilderness was preparing him for the satanic attacks. So I truly believe that when we fast and pray, it builds us up, you know, and it gets us ready for the devil when he does attack, you know. And it'll cause us to be able to discern when it is the devil and when it's not. I was attacked by him for 2 or 3 days this week, you know, just in the spirit, a spiritual attack. I had all kinds of body feelings, emotional feelings, and all of that stuff, you know. And I mean, actually to the point to where I thought, I can't go and preach next Wednesday, tonight, you know. And I kept thinking, go to the doctor. And I thought, there's no doctor can listen, you cannot fix a spiritual battle with natural stuff. I mean, when Satan's attacking, I mean, it don't make any difference. You can't solve that in the natural realm if it's a spiritual thing. But fasting and praying, you know, it puts you in a position to where you walk in the power that you've already been given over satanic forces. I mean, you get up and you just feel lousy. You just feel lousy. That's not normal. You might still be a little sleepy if you stayed up too late, but just to get up and feel just rot gut lousy, you know, those are sometimes demonic attacks on you to get you to go by how you feel. But you know what? If you believe to see God's goodness, you know, and fasting will help you believe to see God's goodness. We brought up the scriptures, you know, where it says that they couldn't cast those demons out, brought it up Sunday, you know, and he said, this kind goeth out but by prayer and fasting, Jesus said. But and a lot of people have thought that's big devils and all that, but if you read in context of what he was saying, he said you couldn't do it, you couldn't cast devils out because you got unbelief. So, you know, prayer and fasting will kill unbelief. Help you to kill unbelief. Y'all quiet? Is y'all okay? Y'all want me to preach on something else? I know how I'm feeling on the inside about it. I know that I'm like, whoo, ain't no way I wouldn't be a part of that church. That's a fasting church. See, it's because I know the results of a fasting person, body. We went in 1994 or 5, I guess it was. They called it the Pensacola Revival, and it was down in Pensacola, and that revival, they were praying and fasting for God to move a revival or whatever. Anyhow, it happened, and I mean it went on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I don't know how many years, wasn't it? Long time. It was a long time. It was so amazing to me and Teresa that we went on vacation down there. I mean, we went to the Pensacola Revival, man. And I went around because I was trying to find out, you know, where it was at, and walked into a store and asked them, and they said, it's around there with the rest of them quacks. That's what they told me, you know, and I started to go quack. Quack, quack. I'm one of them, baby. God's over is what I heard. So we drove all the way from Alabama. We did. We set out in the parking lot. And, I mean, we heard even later on TBN different things and testimonies of of that revival, people coming from all over the world. The place was packed. I mean, they had to add on overflow rooms. It went a long, long time. But anyways, that was a result of them believing and fasting and wanting the move of God. Hallelujah. And I believe that just like Samantha started that ministry, prayer and praise, and I mean, it's really astounding of the scriptures that she puts up there. And it, while the music's playing and all of that, and it causes you to focus in, really, if you plug in, focus in on those areas, you know, and I'm thinking, there's no way we're going to pray this and believe this, but we're going to have to bombard some things. But there's going to breakthroughs happen in these areas that we are one mind, one accord, and we are believing God for. They're going to have to happen. Hallelujah. Praise God. But fasting helps us walk in by the Spirit of God. That's what Jesus said. He left and walked in the power of the Spirit. And it helps us to walk in and on. And following fasting keeps us tuned in to what the Lord is speaking to us. And, you know, I probably didn't realize as much in my younger years. I just got on board. You know, whatever I'd heard, whatever he says do it. You know, and I'm thinking, well, whatever I hear preaching, man, that's just what I'm going to do if it's credible biblically, you know. But I believe most of my life, you know, spiritual life, 30 years, you know, I've been a pastor for 30 years, you know. And in my heart, I know. I don't get to try to convince people, you know. But I have heard people say I don't feel led to pray. And their life's so jacked up from the floor up. And I would say, maybe you can't hear him. Maybe I'm him telling you to fast and pray. You know, you don't have to feel led to fast and pray. The Bible says when you do. It don't say nothing about wait on the Spirit of the Lord to lead you. But now he will lead you. I mean, you'll sometimes be going and just out of the blue, you'll feel like you need to fast, you know. And you'll be like, ah, oh, it'll be the last thing you want to do usually, man. You know. And so then you just be obedient to that. Sometimes he will lead you. Sometimes, I mean, he spoke to me about teaching on fasting in this church. Well, reckon why he did. Well, we need to, that's right. It's our devotion to the Lord. And people that fasted in the Bible, these are just some, I'm sure there's many, but Moses fasted. David fasted. Elijah fasted. Esther fasted, Daniel fasted, Anna fasted, Jesus fasted, Paul fasted, Cornelius fasted. These guys fasted. Paul fasted in Acts 14, 13, and 14. He was fasting for a lot of different reasons, but he heard while they were in prayer and fasting who to appoint in ministry, you know. And Cornelius, he was fasting and praying, and a man glowing showed up to him and told him to go and get Simon, which is surnamed Peter, the Bible says in the book of Acts. You know, and that was his entrance in to go preaching the gospel while Cornelius was fasting and praying. And I believe while we're fasting and praying as a church that God's going to give ideas, he's going to speak to, he's going to bring breakthroughs. And one thing that I believe that fasting does for a Christian is it ushers in God's favor. God favors that. God's favor's on that. And God's favor, and we just did two or three sermons on the favor of God, but the favor of God is his approval, right? His equipping. I mean, he opens doors that normally wouldn't open for Christians. Just like in the government right now, I believe you see God. I honestly 100% believe that you see God. You see God going down. How many knows the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is going to be transferred to the righteous? That's in your Bible. And so, or the wealth of the sinner is what it says, is going to be transferred. But, well, I mean, I told the Lord when I read that in Isaiah back years ago, and it said he will restore what the cankerworm doeth steal, blah, 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 you know, and all of that. And I begin to tell God, God, I want everything back to me that Satan stole, even what I don't know. God, I want everything that he stole from my dad and my parents that didn't serve, that they didn't know what I know. God, I want back time pay from Satan. Well, I believe I've walked it. I believe I've got... I know my dad was a farmer, and I got drug off a mule. I mean, I rode on the back of the mule while my brothers and sisters plowed the mules and the horses, you know, with our farm every year. And I rode on the back of one named Flinker. She wouldn't hurt you or anything, but my sister was guiding her through the row, and there was a limb there and drugged me off of that, you know. Why? I couldn't stay at home. I wasn't little enough, so I had to go to the field with the older ones, you know, because they had to plow the cotton and different things, you know, and everything. Well, why I'm saying that, you know, my dad moves over to Cleveland over there, and I wasn't saved yet, and I wanted him to get a tractor. I said, Dad, get you a tractor. Just get you a little tractor. And he was disabled this time, you know, and, oh, boy, I can't afford one. Draw $600-$700 a month, Social Security, whatever it was, disability, you know. And so me and my brother went to him and said, well, you buy the tractor, you know, and we'll make the payments. Well, he knew we wouldn't, so he didn't do it because he'd have to make the payments. But our intentions was good. But after I got saved, you know, I thought, I wonder how many tractors my dad wished he had. You know, I thought, So I told the Lord, I said, at that time I didn't know. I said, Lord, I don't really know if I can do this or not. But you said you restore what the cankerworm. And so I want all the tractors that my dad desired to have better. You know, and I mean, I've had tractors, I mean, for years and years and years. I even told Satan, which I didn't know if it really happened that way or not, but I told Satan, I said, I'm getting what my dad wanted. I'm going to enjoy my dad, what my dad would have enjoyed, because I served Jesus. And people, I mean, I've had Christians to criticize me, but I'm the one driving the tractors. Right? Hallelujah. He said, you'll live in houses that you didn't build. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm living in one I didn't build. Now, I had to wait 10 years, but I specifically wanted land. I wanted a brick. I kind of made it specific to Lord what I wanted in the house, if you're going to give me one. You know, I want land because I didn't have no land over there, and I desired land. I didn't even know how much is with that house, but I couldn't have that house because I had to wait on them people to decide to sell it. And her husband wouldn't sell it. He died, and she's selling it. They built it for their son specifically. For their son, and he joined the military, and he never moved back. So they had it rented and all that good stuff. Well, anyways, but anyhow, you know, I went year after year after year, and I'm telling you this for a reason. I would fast. I'd fast and pray, and I'd say, Lord, I thank you for my house. I thank you, Father God. I'm fasting. I'm keeping my strength and confidence in you. Fasting helped me to do that. Fasting kept me focused on the Lord in some areas. Well, I'm living in that house. And I own it. And I'm believing God that God's going to turn it around where we don't have to pay property taxes when we pay for our home. Wouldn't that be amazing? When you pay for it, you bought it, you paid for it, you don't pay no taxes on it. Hallelujah. I mean, God's wise enough to do that. Hallelujah. Now, as far as me, it don't really bother me that bad, but I know people drawing their Social Security and having to pay that $1,200, $1,500 a year, and it is a burden on them. It's a burden on those people, praise God. But I've already heard it mentioned. We're hearing a lot mentioned. We never heard mentioned like this before. Transparency. Ain't that God? Just open up to me. Just be transparent with me, son. Do you know? Come to me like you are. I don't expect you to be perfect. I don't expect you to have the flesh perfect. Just be real. Ain't that what God said? To come to him, just be real. Hallelujah. And he said he'll pour himself out to us, right? Hallelujah, like he does. Praise God. So, you know, the what the Lord is, and it's not just in the government. I want him in the government. I want him involved. I want righteousness. I hear Jesus mentioned in the media, in the government, more than I ever have in my 58 years of living. I mean, it's Jesus. I say it. It's Jesus. It's God. I mean, our vice president. That's God. We prayed for it, didn't we? God put them in the right, white, all the way from the house to the White House, God. Put them in there, God. We believe in for them. Well, I'm just giving God glory right now. I'm not into politics. This is my life and your finances and you. Right? Hallelujah. And we expect God to take care of us, protect us, rebuke the devourer for us, right? Hallelujah. And you got millions all over the planet just like us. Pray God, is praying for the right standing of God, God's way to be in our lives, in our schools. This wokeism and devilism and all of that is coming out of our schools in the name of Jesus. That's what we fast and pray for. We're fasting and praying for breakthroughs in our counties, in our cities, in our nation, all the way to the White House, and we are absolutely seeing it. And then you got Satan coming up to the edge of the wilderness. Hey. Hey, amigo. Yeah. You got him out there, man. You take one of them sinners over there. It's not like, well, they're finding out that there's 300-year-old people still drawing Social Security. That's 300 years old. I believe they're going to find out all. See, God ain't been able to get in all of that for years, but He raised up a David. He raised up a Trump. I heard Him prophesied. I heard a guy that's dead. He said he's going to blow the trumpet. You know? And so God's like, okay, I've let y'all be in bungees for several hundred years or whatever. Now I'm going to step in and I'm going to bring freedom. I'm going to bring freedom to the church, freedom to the schools. And you know what freedom is? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, right? It's not just in this building when we come here. Where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. That's why we want Him more in our life, and fasting and praying is a part of it. I believe God hears me. I believe God hears you whether you believe He does or not. The Bible says His ears are open to the cry of the righteous. Well, you may not feel righteous. I mean, a lot of people don't even know that they give their heart to Jesus and they became righteous. You became righteous. Righteousness is not of your own making. Righteousness is of God. It's the right standing that you're in right standing with God through Jesus Christ. He is the one that made you righteous, cleansed by the blood. And see, you might think, well, I've still got a lot of flaws. Get your mind off of all your flaws and get your mind on the things that you want to be in God, and then God begins to change the flaws and then makes you like Him. That's why He told him, He said, your righteousness, and over there, I believe it's in Isaiah, Psalms 1, it says, your righteousness is as of filthy rags. That means our righteousness is no good concerning the standards of God. But Jesus made us in right standing with God. So get off of that you're not worthy. Been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And you overcome by that and what you say. The word of your testimony. Hallelujah. I go around and sometimes I hesitate about saying it, Johnny, because I know it's coming. But I'll say, "Ooh, yes, I'm increasing more and more, even my children. Glory to God. More work, more work." Boy, it takes a man of faith to say that. Right? Hallelujah, praise God. You know, but then you got to go on, add on top of that He said that we will enjoy the works of our hands. So that tells me believe it on in and go work and just enjoy myself. And if I need help, I'm calling Mac. Party's over, Mac. You've been on vacation too long. I'm messing with you, Mac. He would. He done told me if we went to war, he'd be on the front lines in the ditch with a gun with me. I'm like, we ain't going to fight that way, Mac. I mean, I'm out of used to. man, dug a hole, bring it down, dig a hole, jump in it and fire, you know. But he was just letting me know he's for me. He was just letting me know, man, I got you, you know. But how many knows, put that Isaiah 58 up there. Put the verse 8 up there. It says, now he's talking about fasting. We covered this Sunday. He says, this not the fasting of chosen, to loose the bands of wig and undo the heavy burdens, and that you break every... We break yokes. And then he said, then he goes on down a little ways, and then he says this. He says, then shall your light break forth like the morning. That's great. And your healing, your restoration, and the power of a new life shall spring forth speedily. Oh, that's awesome. So I've been telling the Lord on this fast that we're on, God, I thank you that my health is springing forth speedily. I expect it. And I've laid hands on people for years using that scripture, Lord, that their health will spring forth speedily. Hallelujah. So I've been telling the Lord, thank you, Lord, that everybody that's connected fasting and praying, that their health is going to spring forth speedily. He said, your restoration and the power of a new life shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall, your righteousness, your justice, and your right relationship with God shall go before you, conducting you to peace and prosperity, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. He's guarding my back. He's guarding your back. He's watching. I mean, there's things that the, because of your walk with the Lord, and it's not just fasting that just does that. We had a church down here, and I went to a service, you know, and they had declaring debt free in 2003. That was their declaration, you know, and I was in that service, you know, and people started testifying, and they said, because I tithe, you know, I didn't get killed in that car wreck. Because I tithe, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. I thought, he gives his angels charge over us. You know, didn't say nothing about tithing. But see, they got kind of a little bit off. You know, the tithing don't get you abundance. See, I just shocked a bunch of you. It's your devotion. It's your devotion. It's my devotion. Now, see, the Lord helps us keep that in balance, see. But I have to say it like that to give you something to think about. And let me give you an example. Now, when I got saved, you know, I get up, you know, and people's talking to God. And then I'm thinking, nah, you can't talk to God because it says you got to go through Jesus. So you got to talk to Jesus first. And then I got thinking, who do you talk to? Now they're talking about good morning, Holy Spirit. And I thought, nah, man, I mean, I don't know about all that. I mean, you know, I'm in a stage I got to get a balance here because our carnal mind is an enemy to God, see. The flesh cannot receive the things of God but the Spirit of God. So he gives us spiritual understanding called quickening. He quickens us by the Spirit of God. Call it revelation. Call it impartation. But he causes us to know what we're... the balance there. So, you know, I went and I said, okay, God, I said, I got to know. I need to know, who do I pray to? You know, who can I talk to you? I need to know all of this, you know. And for days I pondered that and I'm like, I want to get this down right. You know, I don't want to be messed up, you know, and all of that stuff. And all of a sudden on the inside of me, by the Spirit of God, God said, you talk to me and you done went through Jesus. You done went through him. He's sitting on my right hand according to my word. He's sitting and making intercession, talking to me about you. That's what it says. You know, he's sitting there talking to me. He said, you talk to my Holy Spirit. That's me. He said, we're one. That's what the scripture says. And so all of a sudden I felt good. I'm like, whoo, man. I mean, that might not mean nothing to you, but and that's what I was talking about, the tithing part. The tithing is not what you gets you really into the things of the Spirit of life. It's the Holy Spirit. You know, that's part of our devotion to build the kingdom of God. I mean, you know, our tithes and offerings and giving. Just like Ty, he come up to him a while ago, and he's helping this man where he's at, you know, got cancer, whatever the case might be. I think we prayed for him. I believe we have. And believe God. And he's making some kind of seat, and he's letting people draw tickets, and whoever the ticket is, you know, they're raising money to help the guy. Nothing wrong with that. You want to. And so I sat down there, and he's showing me the thing, and I just told him, I said, well, I said, you know, I said, I really don't want a ticket. I said, you making the bench and giving it? Yeah. And I said, well, okay. I said, well, I just want to give some money. You can put it on tickets if you want to. I said, can you do that? And he said, well, yeah, you can do that. And so I just pulled my wallet out, and I gave him some money. I said, and you're giving the bench, and I'm giving money. And I got up, and I said, we're in a win-win situation. Well, what does the Bible say? More blessed is it to what? Give. He wasn't trying to con me. No. He's got a genuine reason for why he's doing that, praise God. And my point in being that, a generous man shall be made fat. Somebody just told me the other day, they said, I've never seen nobody in my whole life help people and give like I have saw you give since I knew you. And I said, well, that goes all the way back to 27 and a half years old. I said, when I begin to ask God, you know, God, I want to be a blessing. Yes, I want a lot of things. I want a house, God. I want a good marriage. I want, you know, to be strong. I want to be strong in you and secure in you. But God, I want to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing. God, help me to be a blessing. I said, so I have to give God credit for where I've given, everything that I've given, everywhere that I've given, everything that I've been able to give and am able, I said, that's why I am blessed. Travis, he used to get upset at people that looked at him like I was being took advantage of. But the thing about it is, you learn to forgive before somebody does something to you. I heard that from a man of God. See, fasting puts you into a place to where you'll be up spiritually. You'll make these decisions like I'm telling you. And I mean, it'll be like, this is God, this is God, this is God. You will absolutely know when it ain't God. In your giving, in your getting hooked to people, you know, tied into people, praise God. I mean, you'll be spared from all of that. Because the Holy Spirit, the more we're tuned in to the Holy Spirit, the more that our light, our path will get straighter and straighter. Yeah. We'll get wiser and wiser. We will hit it, not miss it with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So if you have a problem with that, talk to God. If you've done been to Jesus, He was the door that you entered in through, and now you have throne room rights. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you'll find mercy, grace, and find help in time of need. And I've had people to tell me when I was ministering to people that were broke, Mac, and didn't have nothing and wanted things and all of that, and tell them that if they would just come to Jesus, that He would begin to bless their life and bless them financially. That got on their nerves. We're not supposed to direct them to God for money. And I'm like, that's stupid. Jesus took on Himself what? Well, why would you want to tell somebody broke that so that they can be? Ain't that what the Bible says? There's a guy in my family, he's helping build, helping do a little bit on Travis's building. I'm out there with him, and he had done talked about a house, and I think he's been saved. He really pursuing the Lord. And he's up there on that, up there, you know, and I looked up at him, and I said, hey, man. I said, you know what? I said, your house is in Deuteronomy 28. He just looking at me. Later on, it was his dad told me, he said, you don't understand that. I said, he will if you go to church with you like I told him. I said, anyway, ain't that what we supposed to do? Direct them to the church so they begin to understand Deuteronomy? Because you got to get them saved. You got to get them spiritually minded. You got to get their mind renewed to the Word of God before He can quicken it on the inside of them called revelation. I said, so if you go to church and go after the Lord, I said, read Deuteronomy 28. I said, you found some of your cows in there, didn't you? After you heard me find mine. Oh, yeah, I did. He's got cows now. He told the Lord, thank you for my cows on 1,000 hills. I started telling him, oh, you ain't getting all that faith stuff going, are you? That's good, though. When you believe God, all odds are against you, and you find that promise in there, and you feel like it's yours. See, you'll know when you're religiously doing it, or mine. You'll get it in here, and it'll just burn with you. It'll be like, my house is here. And 10 years later, you don't get it until 10 years later. But every year it's here. And then my cows. I mean, I'd just come out of open heart surgery not long after that, and blah, blah, blah. And dude died that was building the fence, you know. And I thought, oh, my God, he's still like 20 miles. So I gear up, praise God, and God sends me a little bit of help, you know. And guy calls me up and he said, and I'm fasting at this time about this stuff. I mean, about, you know, that farm. I mean, they done offered me $150. And I'm like, nah, I'm going to walk away more. And I told Travis, let's just wait till you get completely out of debt, then do it. Better if you don't need no money. Right? Just let it. See, well, in other words, what I'm saying to you, don't be too quick to move. Don't operate in fear and unbelief. Just be patient. The Bible says for us to don't be anxious for nothing. Don't be over anxious in too big a hurry to get married. Travis, amen, Dad, preach it. I mean, it wasn't just about a year after he got married. He called me up, oh, I'm telling you, wrote. No, it wasn't that long. After he bought his first grocery, $40. Whoo, man. He's like, Dad, groceries are high. I said, yeah, that's why Mom didn't let you mess and eat all between the meal, but enjoy the ride. You signed up. Then he gets on up and has two kids. I'm telling you, I need some free time. I mean, kids will drive you up the wall. You know? And I tell him, I said, well, you signed up for it. Enjoy the ride. Well, how many knows you got to believe God in these times? You got to believe God for a sound mind, right? Hallelujah. Well, fasting and praying is your devotion for God, to God. You know, and you know, there's prayers of faith. You don't just need to, you don't have to beg God to heal you. You don't have to beg God to heal people. You know, I mean, it says the fervent prayer of the righteous. If you don't believe that He'll heal somebody, get in there and get your faith up through the Word. You build yourself up. I mean, I read Mark 16:17. It ain't just because I'm a preacher. I mean, I'm just that's a gift that when I come to this church or street or somewhere like that, but just out here, I mean, it's not because I'm a minister. I didn't know I was a minister, really, till later on. But Mark 16:17, these signs shall follow them that believe. And so I started meditating on that, man. Even at night, I'd say, oh, these signs are on me. They're in me. They're part of me, praise God. And I pray for somebody they're going to be. I convinced myself through the Word of God that God, if I would do it, would do it. It says, these signs shall follow them that has entered into faith through Jesus. You did it through Jesus. Hallelujah. So if you're having trouble with that, get in there. Get the, you know, don't just feel all helpless about it. Get in there and read the Word. Read it on healing. I mean, it'll get you built up and you'll be like, glory to God, where is those sick folk at? Hallelujah. Praise God. It'll just get in you and you just got to go, but you know, you got to go use it. See, Satan just wants you caught up in all your troubles, all your neighbor's troubles, you know. There's trouble all around, all the time, everywhere. He wants you distracted in all of that. But fasting and praying will cause you to focus in on the Lord. It'll cause you to stay focused on Him. Hallelujah. And then, you know, I used to think, I don't see nothing happening. I'd fast and I didn't see nothing happening. I'd fast and I didn't see nothing happening. I'd be looking for something to happen, looking for something to happen. And the Lord told me, He said, that's not how it works. He said, you're thinking your fasting is going to do it. He said, it's not the fasting. He said, it's your confidence in me. See, Paul fasted and prayed for strength. He fasted and prayed for breakthroughs in all the stuff that he was facing. Men hated him. They whipped him. They beat him. They drug him out of the city, you know. And I believe his fasting and prayer, that was his part of his devotion. It wasn't necessarily the fasting. It was him devoting himself. The fasting and praying shows your trust, your leaning on the Lord, your pulling from the Lord. You're relying on the Lord. Hallelujah. Sure, in our own ability, I can work without God and make money. People do it all the time. I can work and make, but I ain't going to have the blessing, the favor, the anointing on even my giving. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're going to prosper. You're destined to prosper. You might think, I'll never get a break. I'll never get a break. You don't got a break. His name was Jesus. I'm telling you right now, me and Teresa used to think it too. If somebody would just give us a break, give us a little bit of land, help us get out of where we're at, you know, and everything. But we got born again, and we realized through hearing preachers preach it and the church and then reading it ourselves, you know, in the Bible and starting to fast at an early age and pray, you know, we begin to figure out through the Word by the Holy Spirit that our break was Jesus Christ. And all we had to do was get to know Him, get to know His ways, get to know how to follow Him, how to be prompt on the leading of the Holy Spirit, and He would lead us and guide us. My mom, she would done got bedridden. I was talking to somebody the other day about this. She thought she was seeing little red bugs on her bed, foot of her bed, you know. And her blood sugar would get low, and her dog wouldn't get around her because she was acting weird, you know. It felt weird to the dog. But anyways, I went over there one day, and they had some of my brothers and sisters, and they meant no ill will. You know, they were just trying to help my mama. You know, but they had a sprayer, and they'd bought that sprayer in there. And it didn't have nothing in it, you know, but they'd pump it up. And they sprayed it. They sprayed the bed. And I just happened to go in. And I said, what are y'all doing? Well, let's talk out here. So we go out there and they said, well, mama's seeing those bugs. And she had told me, you know. And I'd minister to her, you know. And we sprayed them, you know, and told her we got them all. I said, well, you're lying. I said, were there any bugs on that bed? Well, I said, no, was they? No. Well, no. I said, well, then why are you trying to deceive her? I said, I know you're trying to help her and make her feel better. So I bust the door open in there, and I said, there wasn't no spray in there. Well, Jesus said what? You shall know the truth if you continue in my word. I know what it says. But you shall know the truth, and what makes you free? Not the bug spray, because there wasn't no bugs there. And so I went in and I told Mom, I said, there's no bugs there. They didn't spray for no bugs. There's no bugs. I ain't seen no bugs. You ain't seen no bugs. I told her, I said, Satan is a liar. I said, there's no bugs there. I said, now we're going to bind Satan right now in the name of Jesus. And so I bound Satan and I commanded, and I never heard about the bugs again. See, and I'm not down in none of my family. I don't know about all that. I stay out of all of that detail stuff. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just cause everybody died with cancer, I'm not dying with cancer. I mean, good Christians have died, and people ask me the questions, why did they die? I mean, if we get in, stay out of all that. The Bible says, by Jesus' stripes you're healed. I don't care. They may not have thought. They may not have believed God. They may have believed a lie that God's doing this to them. It's taught out there and all of that. I said, and if you get into all of that and you believe all of that, then you ain't going to stand against that. You ain't going to stand against poverty if you believe God wants you broke. If you believe God wants you weak, just humble and weak. You're going to be humble and weak. Really prideful and weak, you know, because see, fasting and praying will help you kill the pride, man, the pride part of you. See, that's your humbling yourself to God and saying, God, I need you. God, I want you. And then God gives you revelation. Then you go give that same that you have, you know, from God to other people. Praise God. Hallelujah. So don't cow down to all of this garbage you hear out there out of really good Christian people. But you know, I heard a minister say one time, and I found it out to be so myself, really. He said, you know, he said, I don't have a lot of problem out of sinners. He said, they love me. They like me. He said, it's some church-going people, religious. They get into that religion. He said, and why do you need three cars? Why do you need this? You ought to just give that to the poor. Well, Jesus didn't think that was too bad when they poured the alabaster box out on his feet, right? He didn't think that was a waste of money. He was worshiping Jesus. Well, don't the Bible say for us to give him glory and everything, right? Honor the Lord with our stuff. Well, if we ain't got no stuff. I mean, but see, Satan twists that up, you know. Well, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with Deuteronomy 28? Just like he told him, he said, I'm bringing y'all from bondage, and I'm going to take y'all. You got a journey now here, and you know, but I'm going to take you over there where you really want to live, where you can be free, where you can have your own house, where you can, you know, have your own money. Hallelujah. You know, and then there was a lot in there that wouldn't get off of that stuff. They wouldn't get off of the complaining and they wouldn't get devoted. They were still walking. I don't believe they had a choice. I believe that the ocean done closed and they couldn't see no way back. I don't know how far it was across that ocean. An ocean's not a mud hole. You know, so I imagine they felt like, we can't go back. I mean, he opened the sea and shut it back, man, on our enemies. I mean, we'll drown going across there. You know, I don't know what they thought. Hallelujah. But you know what? We're living in a generation that God's people is rising up. You are. You're already doing it. We're on a fast right now. We're going to see breakthroughs. We're going to see financial turnaround. I believe we're going to see our new building. Amen. I believe we gonna have service in our new building. And we don't borrow. We're the head, not the tail. We lend and we don't have to borrow. Hallelujah. Now, how much money we got? I don't know, but it ain't enough to build a building right now. Well, how can you say that then? Because the Bible says it. That's what faith is. If the Bible says you're a king and a priest, just get up and get dressed up. Just go out, but God, I'm a king and a priest. I practice it. I got criticized over a truck that I had, Johnny. I had a 96 Silverado. And this guy come to me and he said, hey, he said, you want to buy all this stuff off my truck? And I looked at it, big wide wheels and cow induction hood and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I liked my truck anyways. And so I said, what you want for all that? It would have been about probably $6,000-$8,000, you know. And he says, wow, Russ, got it, I'll let you have it for $1,000. Well, I've decked my truck out, boy. I mean, it was decked out with all of that stuff, you know. And I started getting credit. Look at him. I bet he's taking money from the church. Yeah. I bet he's taking money. No, God just wanted me to have what I wanted. I mean, I wasn't praying, believing God for all of that, you know, and praise God, and God just give me the desires of my heart, you know. But people even criticize that. When I was starting this church, people lived down here in Bluntville. What are you starting a church for? I said, I don't know. Ask God. I said, I counted 13 of y'all down here. I started to say, maybe y'all ain't getting the job done. I don't know, but I didn't. I'm not rude, you know. And I said, I don't know. Talk to your father. You're his sheep. You're supposed to hear him. Why don't you ask him why he wants us to start a church down here? So in this other building, I went around proclaiming. God told me, I'm fasting and praying and everything, and I'm mowing that yard down there, wasn't even ours. And one day the Holy Spirit spoke to me, mowing. He'll speak to you mowing, Mac. Keep your revelation on that mower. And he told me, he said, next time you mow, he said, I want you to anoint this. So I brought anointing oil and I poured it around that property down there, you know. And I said, Lord, I just lay hold of it right now. I said, you're wanting us to have it, God. I said, but God, this is what I said. I said, God, we don't want it free. You know, I don't want him, because they may be one day going to sell it, you know, and that might be their income or something, you know. And so, anyways, my heart was just, then I told God, I said, in other words, God, you're going to give us the money. You supply all of our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Well, I went around saying, that building down there is ours. When'd you buy it? Well, I hadn't really signed on it yet, but it's ours. It's ours. And they went around, boy, listen to that, Scotty. Just why they need that building. They got that big building up there. They did. Well, look what we need it for. We got a free clothes ministry. People get to go shopping down there, and praise God, and they get to get stuff free. They don't have to pay nothing. Then people started coming saying, we just want to donate to you because they sell it over yonder. And I said, well, that's up to you. I reckon it's yours. You can give it where you want to. But they wanted me to start talking down on them, and I'm like, they do what they do, and we do what we do. But see, God needed that building down there. God wanted us to go down there and popcorn night. You know, bringing in them funny movie nights down there, comedians. And then here comes somebody and disrupting it. And then there's Travis having his trial. You can't hear. I mean, you can get plumb mad because you can't hear. In other words, no, he might have been challenged with that, but I was challenged with him saying, what do you need that for? You know, but he didn't get upset. We may put surround speakers all the way around the room. Crank it up. We're eating each popcorn here. All we need is get Teresa in control. Aubrey comes down the other day and she's watching that Top Gun again. You know, she's watched it about 20 times. 19, getting close, you know. And so I got her this little surround sound speaker she did, ordered and all that, got it hooked up. She turns the bass on, I mean cranks it up. You in a movie theater, you know how it is. I mean, you can't hear yourself think in there, you know. So Aubrey, she's going to knock on the door, and I said, there ain't no need in knocking, just go on in. I said, okay, Grandma right now is in the movies. So we need her in control of the sound. Hallelujah, praise God. But God seen we need that bad. I never thought about what we'd use it for. I mean, I just knew God was going to give it to us. I didn't know. I absolutely had no idea why. See, that's why you walk by faith. You don't understand why God's got you where you're at right now and why God's doing and not seem like not moving you into your next level. But don't get all caught up in that. Just be where you're at. Develop where you're at. Just develop where you're at, and God will start taking steps, you know. I just like, kind of like this. I went, and it was like months, and I went down on the streets, and I didn't see nobody getting saved or nothing, man, you know. I mean, and I'm like, God, no, it was a year. I was going into my second year, and then I was evangelist, man. I'm wanting everybody saved, you know, Anyways, I'm telling God, I said, God, I don't see no fruit from this ministry. Well, one guy got saved, and it was a year and a half into it. And I said, Lord, there's only one got saved, you know. There must be something wrong with me or something, you know, and all of that. And the Lord just spoke to me, and he said, if you go there for 3 or 4 years and one person gets saved, that's worth it. If I stayed there the whole 30 years and one person got saved, that's good enough for God. I did my part. So right where you're at is not a bad place. You know, it's like I heard Mac, you know, and that's the way it is when we're just getting started reading our Bible, different things, you know, and he's like, it's like in one ear and out the other. I mean, in other words, what he means is I read that and I don't make no sense to me. I don't get nothing out of that. Then all of a sudden, lo and behold, a man comes in, says, you don't like to read. He don't know you. And God quickened Mac to that by the Holy Spirit. He sent that guy, and that guy said that, and that meant something to Mac, and Mac devoted himself to reading scriptures every day ever since that guy been here. And then he testified, it goes in one ear and out the other. Then the other night, lo and behold, I heard him explain one of them. Well, you know, and I mean, that was exciting to Mac. Yes, God quickened that. Well, what if you'd have quit? What if you'd have said, I'm just not understanding nothing. This is stupid. This is a waste of my time. Or what if you'd have did that? Reckon that would ever happen? No, it wouldn't have. No, he said, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then shall you be my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and it'll quicken you. Set you free. Set us free. Hallelujah. Well, that's exactly what happens. I'm expecting that myself. I'm expecting when I meditate on the Word, I see deeper in it. I'll give you a little example. I read Deuteronomy 28 all of my life, spiritual life, you know. And I never even noticed cattle being in that scripture until there was a season in my life that God wanted me to get cows. And when that season come, all of a sudden, one day I thought, man, I'm going to read Deuteronomy. I can quote you the whole chapter nearly, you know. But I'm not going to get familiar with it. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to read it like I did the first time I read it. I'm going to read it and I'm going to pay attention. You know, well, I'm reading it and there's cows. And I went, glory to God. There's my cows. Right there's my cows. I got my house out of there. I got my house out of Proverbs too. He says my house will be filled with substance, right? And so I got my cattle out there. Well, you know what, praise God, before you know it, I had 18 or 19 cows. And I'm like, whoo! You know, and I'm like, watched it fulfilled right before my eyes. So what if you don't know what the next chapter of your life is. You know, but fasting and praying and devotion to God will put you in a place to where you just walk in that every day. And God, you walk into the destiny of God. So I want to encourage you, praise God. And I may even fast with you. I think, who's going tomorrow, Doris? Doris, who's got Friday? Oh, Teresa's Friday, praise God. We'll continue it on next week, but we might bring it up Sunday.
I'll go Wednesday next week.
Wednesday, ooh, yeah. All right. You're on board too, praise God. See, God's doing stuff. He's absolutely doing stuff. And you know, it don't have to be your day that you've chose here to do it. If you want to fast, I mean fast. You know, just like me, my day was Monday and I didn't know who was fasting, done told you about it, and I just thought, well, I'm just going to fast another day. And, you know, and I actually feel stronger because of it, praise God, hallelujah. All right then, praise God. Does anybody got anything on your heart? Anybody need prayer before we dismiss? All right, let's stand to our feet, give the Lord some praise. Anybody got any announcements? Any announcements?